Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, everybody. How you doing? Welcome all around the world and all across the country. What's up, Pittsburgh, Florida, Iowa, Minneapolis, and soon to come, Texas, and Vegas coming at you real soon. Mad Dad's coming at you strong all across the country. Welcome. I am your host. And today I want to thank our producer, Erica Bradley, for helping us to produce the show. Thank you very much. I want to thank my co-host today, which is Ms. Champion. Thank you very much for being here, Ms. Champion. How you doing?
I am doing great.
All right. And then I got one of my goddaughters here with me. How you doing?
Hi. How are you?
All right. Our topic today is we're going to be talking about building trust and community relationships with law enforcement and some of the issues that we have with that and some things that we can do as communities, some things that we clearly can do to have an impact and to make a difference in our community. Because I think it's important to understand something, that if we don't do something about our relationships and our partnerships with law enforcement and our community, we don't want what's going on down there in Missouri. Matter of fact, I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, and big ups to everybody from KC. But this Michael Brown thing is really huge. It's a lot of stuff going on. And I see that everybody's trying to make a difference just to get folks to calm down. So it's important that we talk about that. So we're talking about that today. On the air, I've got with me one of Minneapolis's finest. So I want to welcome him to the show today. Sir, how you doing? Introduce yourself. Let everybody know who you are. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah, this is Dr. Allen. I'm on the... Hello?
Oh, Dorsey, hold on a second, because I want to get to our officer. I'll be right back with you, Dorsey. Hold on a second. And I think he's on 0285. Is that you, officer?
It is me, Lieutenant Freeslaven on 0285.
Lieutenant, first of all, I just want to thank you for taking the time out to be on Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads across the country. As we look at what's going on with Michael Brown and all that situations, what are some of the things that community leaders and community members can do to make a difference with relations between the community and the police?
I think the police and the community, especially when times are volatile like this, like the Missouri situation, this is a time where we need to sit down and have cool heads and discuss our issues versus turning to violence right away. We need time to discuss the facts. We need to, between the community, the police, the attorneys, who's ever involved, and have very cool heads at these times and try to work this out together instead of going right to more violence or destroying, causing more actions.
You know, one of the things I wanted to ask, I've had a chance, an opportunity to work with you. You've been very cooperative. You've been an officer that I believe that has our best interest, and I thank you for that. It's, I have people that join Mad Dads, and sometimes they go back to crack cocaine, and sometimes they go back to gang banging, and sometimes they go back to some negative things. And I get sometimes a bad reviews because of something somebody else did. How do you get through that when you have an officer that, that kind of steps out of line? It does some things that's not good for the community, but it makes you look bad. How do you deal with that?
Well, the way we deal with that is we have to remember, whether it's Mad Dads or the police or the banker or the baker or the construction workers, that all these jobs are made of people. It's people who work jobs, and we're all, even the police officers, we're just people at the end of the day, just like everybody else, like the citizens. And when you're, like in your VDA, your position, you're a boss, you're a supervisor, and that always goes back to you. If someone under you does something, questionable, and the way we get through those times is we still work with people. It's not going to be perfect. We wish that all the police officers were perfect, they're not going to be. We wish all the citizens are perfect. They're not going to be. And knowing that, we just have to keep working, and sometimes we have to work harder. So the best way to take care of that for me is not to take it personal. If I have an employee that could make bad decisions or done something blatantly wrong, we have to work with that to remedy it. And sometimes getting the community involvement in that decision can be very important at times.
Well, I want to thank you. Now, you hold on, because we're gonna listen to some other folks and have them chime in, and I'll come back to you as they ask you questions. I want everybody to know that we have one of our officers from Minneapolis Police Department. Give me your full name again, sir.
Lieutenant Michael Freeslaven from the 4th Precinct, Minneapolis Police Department.
Lieutenant Michael, he's a hard worker. He's a tall guy, too, about 6 something. But anyway, he's a big man, and he's been working hard over at the 4th Precinct. So just hold on, officer. We're going to get back to you. We're going to go to some other folks on the line and kind of get with them and see if they got any thoughts or words, what they would like to say about community and police relationships. We're going right to 0285. We're not going to that. We're going to 9016. You're on the line.
Hey, what's going on, Brother BJ? This is Dorsey Howard. I'm a Minneapolis man there, but I'm on the bus right now, so you mentioned it'd be hard to hear me. But I used to be in them streets, and I used to gangbang and all that, and that criminal. And one thing, I know that we would never deal with the police, period. So we need people like Mad Dez and people to come. We need more Mad Dez out here to come in between and be that between guy to deal with the police and the public, because a lot of these guys out here would not deal with the police at all, you know. And it's sad, but it's true, you know.
Well, you know, officers are paid. They're paid through our tax dollars to do work, and it's prevent crime prevention. That's what they're paid for, so we need to make sure we use them where they're supposed to be used, in public safety, and to do what they need to do. Thank you for bringing that up, Dorsey. I appreciate you, and continue to do the work you're doing out in the transit, and remember, there's only one way, right?
One way. Get the book. Check it out.
That's right.
All right.
Get the book.
Thank
check
you.
It out, my man. That's Dorsey, and we're talking about his book, One Way. You can check it out. We'll be talking to him more about that. We're going to go right to another caller and just see what kind of comments they have. 1436, you're on the line. 1436.
Hey,
that's what I do, man.
You're on the line. 1436. Okay, 1436 definitely did not have a question. We're going to go right to 5737. 5737, Mad Dev, talking about police and community relations. I'm doing great.
Good,
I can hear
man.
You.
That's good. Look, I really have lived on both sides of the fence. Like, I used to be one of those guys in the street that would, you know, not like the police. You know, think if they wasn't right or they wasn't this, they wasn't that. But the fact of the matter was, I was the one causing the most problems in the community. So how am I going to say they wasn't this and they wasn't that? Well, I wasn't right. Now that I've been in Minneapolis back there and that I've been out here in the community getting involved, I do see that it's up to the community to get the police involved in what's going on in the community. If we keep hiding the people that's committing all the crimes away from, you know, justice, things that's supposed to be going on. Now, you know, I honestly feel for Michael Brown. You know, there was a rally we was at, a protest that we was at, because the police that doesn't come there and make sure these things were same people. And, you know, I kind of really got upset because, you know, I know that everybody should know what's going on with police economy, but at some point, they took officers, they took police off their jobs in our community to come in and stand and watch.
We got a bad connection with you, Lonzo. I want to thank you, though, for calling in, man. I used a lot of noise back there. We're going to go right to 4230. We got a 404 area code. We're long distance here. How you doing? And welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, this is good. Yeah, my name is Jay. I'm over here on the bus on the 5 headed over North Minneapolis right now with the Mad Dad. So we out here just putting out positive vibes through the neighborhood and hoping that we can – you know, take some of this crime away from these kids and bring some positive light to the youth and everybody out in here in the society. So we just want to give thanks and praise to God first and foremost, because he's given us the opportunity to go out here and do this and put our heart and soul and putting our lives on the line amongst people that probably don't even want to hear the truth. So I just give thanks to be on this blog radio or blog talk. I don't know what else to say besides that. I hear we talking about the police situation and whatnot. You know, my whole thing is basically, you know, these youth don't want to talk to police. They don't want to talk to them because they're afraid of them automatically. They're afraid of the power that they hold. They know they're running around here with guns, and these dudes, some of these dudes don't have guns. So they're automatically in fear right there. So if we can take a fear away from the community as far as knowing that these police are here to protect and serve and not to destroy, then, you know, we can create some better solutions possibly within the community, especially within the Department of Corrections.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to thank you very much for calling in. We're going to go right back to our officer and talk to him and kind of get some feedback about what he thinks about some of the comments and responses that he's heard so far. Lieutenant, what do you think about some of the comments you've heard so far?
I think the biggest theme is when you start talking about police, the community repeats, it seems like they repeat that they don't trust the police, especially the young kids. They don't trust us, and they don't want to talk to us. And this is a vital time where we need to get together with people like you, VJ, people in our community, reach out to them with the police officers, and get in arenas where we can have discussions, especially with our young youth. We need to get to them. We got to find a way to guide our young youth the right direction and get away from this crime and shooting and violence. But this is a time also where it's going to be all of us working together. The police can't do it on their own. You know, the community can't do it on their own. The community leaders, like Mad Dads, police officers need to step up. Mad Dads has to step up. All the community leaders to step up. And we have to quit going back to things that have happened, not that we can forget history. But we got to get a new arena here where we can get all people together and start discussing and find out that there's a lot of great police officers. We got people in PAL working with youth. We have cops that work with youth on their own. We've got to get a bigger picture where we're all, you know, we all have a safe arena where we can come and discuss things without it being us versus you or you versus us, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, and I'm going to come right back to you. You hold on. We just got a few more minutes to go. I appreciate you taking the time out. I know that you're a busy man. You're on the streets kind of guy. Just hold on one second. We're going to come back. I'm going to go to Florida out here. I've got Florida on hold here. 6458, you're listening to Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads, and we're talking about community and police relationships. How you doing? That's, wait a minute. Let me check here. The number, oh, you just hung up on me. We're going to go to 4230. Yes, sir. Did you have another comment? Okay. We're going to go up to 5705. Did you have a comment, sir?
This is a ma'am.
Yes. Oh, ma'am?
Yes.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
I would like to ask Officer Michael, do he really believe that there is racial profiling? And how can we start at that point, just that issue, racial profiling, and then we can move on? I believe that violence begets violence, as well as communication begets communication. So my question to Officer Michael is, what is your opinion on racial profiling? Do you even think that is an issue?
Okay, great. I'm glad you had that question. We're going to go right back to the officer, and let's get an answer. Yes, sir, you heard the question?
Yep. Racial profiling is against the law. That's not what we do. There's sometimes we're in areas where there's high crime, and there can be, you know, a certain segment of the population that lives there. We don't control that. Nobody does. But we're not able to just profile. Sometimes it might appear that way because it's one area of town, might be your worst area, and a certain segment lives there. And that's the crimes we have to deal with at that time. And I didn't catch the second part of the question.
Okay, let me go back to on that second part of the question. You want to give us that second part of the question again?
Well, actually, my main question was racial profiling. So he says that that is against the law. There is no – from what I received from him is that the police officers do not racially profile. Then when there comes up different cases where people are they're, for the lack of a better word, attacked or they're the police roll on them and they have done nothing and it ends up to be a mess. I mean, does anyone take responsibility for that? I mean, I live in what people call the ghetto, but I do not live ghetto. So at some point in time, I think the police need to step up to the plate and say, you know, because like you said, there are some bad, there are some good. And those that are bad, I think they need to target that as well as the community targeting all of the crime, you know, the community stepping up and targeting crime areas as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's hear from our officer and get his feedback on that. Thank you very much, man. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that's a great comment, ma'am, that you made there, that in these areas that are ridden with crime at times, I'll be honest, sometimes it's difficult to sort out who the people are that are committing crimes and may be not be committing crimes. And that's where the community working with the police really comes into play when I say that the police cannot solely clean up areas that are high in crime, and the community can't either. We work together, and I'm learning with that discussion through many of our community meetings here on the north side of Minneapolis that we're starting, I get to at least see crime through the citizens' eyes where they live and hear their stories, which when those things happen and I listen and now we're kind of trusting each other, now we can together start sorting out maybe what the criminal element that is in that area versus the people who just live there and every day. And I think you said you lived in a ghetto, but you're not ghetto. And we want everybody to be able to live that way, whether it's, you know, considered a bad area or not. People should be able to be safe. But with that, we need help from the citizens and the community and the community leaders to sort out who those maybe undesirable people are. It's, you know, it's very difficult to do that by ourselves when we go in those areas.
And the other piece is that, you know, when people don't want to talk or they don't want to speak up and say what they need to say in the community, it makes it very difficult for you. We have somebody in the studio that has a question for you.
Well, I have a story for you, what I experienced at North Commons Park. My son had came home and told me what happened to him by some officers, how they talked to him, and they called him little black boy, you know, with the dreadlocks, and they'll throw him over in one of those garbage cans. And I got on the bike the next day, and I put on a baseball cap, and I rode to North Commons Park, and they seen my son on a bike, and those same officers started attacking my son. And I just listened to what they were saying to my son. And then I turned around and I said, you know what, this is not correct. This ain't the way you guys supposed to be out here dealing with these kids. I said, y'all are reaching their level, talking crazy to them, and they're talking crazy to y'all. I said, now, by me being who I am, I know that, you know, that we're not all on the same level. And I know that all police officers are not, you know, ignorant. Okay, that's what I thought. Those guys were real ignorant to talk to a little boy the way they did. And I got my child, like I told him, if they ever had a problem out this little boy, to come tell me. My address is this and that. They know where I live at. And I need you guys. And I'm here to say this. Minnesota needs you guys. We all need to come on the same accord. North Minneapolis, South Minneapolis, we need to know our constitutional rights. We don't know our constitutional rights. Our children don't know their constitutional rights. And we have officers, you know, you guys train them for their job. And I just want you, I don't know you, but for you to, you can't talk up for all of them. But you know, a lot of them are going above and beyond and out the box doing what they want to do. They getting personal on the street, and they dealing with it. All people aren't street people. And that's what I have to say.
Well, that's a great comment. You, any response to that, officer?
I do. One of the most important parts of, you know, the police and the community policing to work is that when citizens are displeased with their service, they think it's unfair or obviously unfair maybe, is to deal with that issue as soon as possible by calling your, you know, the precinct sergeants or commanders, or you have other outlets, internal affairs, you know, we have all kinds of outlets. I go to a lot of meetings and people tell me things that happened a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It would be very difficult to piece some of that stuff back together. And my suggestion to the community is if you feel you've been wronged by the police, that take care of that immediately. That's part of this where we need to be able to trust the cops and talk to them. You should be able to talk to the police, so you need to come to the stations or call the stations and so we can resolve things like this fast.
You know, one of the things I want to say, I remember when I was young and Dr. King was killed and there was a march, and that I remember seeing dogs and police officers spray African Americans, and I kept seeing that visual in my head, and I remember that that everybody was afraid of the police, and that we didn't have any African American officers, and we begin to have African American officers, and that made me proud. And then now I went from being that young kid that was afraid of police to that young man that is helping the police find new recruits and getting out in the community to have impact and make a difference. This shooting with Michael Brown, though, they say he could have survived the first 5 shots. It was the last shot to his head that killed him. And I think that so many people in our community just are fed up and they're tired and they're frustrated and, you know, that they can't get jobs because they have records and they got so many felonies on their records and they're trying to figure out how to make it in this community. And so they retreat. It's a few bad people that are causing the riots and causing the mayhem. But everybody's frustrated, not only frustrated with police, but frustrated with the economic situation and frustrated with the ability to build jobs, to be entrepreneurs, those abilities, the funding streams, even us nonprofits. We're struggling, and there's racial imbalance when it comes to that. So there's a lot going on, and when I was looking about building trust and what our chief, Artel, was saying, that there's two important roles that you play in as conflicting responsibilities, that she has a responsibility to be the leader of the police and then a responsibility to be a chief for the community. But when you put deadly force into that, then there's a conflict, because then you have to, you know, it's just a conflict with that, you know, because you're the chief of the police, and, you know, but then also you're a chief of the community. And when somebody, an officer, does something that puts deadly force in, then the community wants a response. And that's what's happening in Missouri. And so I'm hoping that what we can do, even by just this conversation that we're having, is trying to build relationships between police, between community, so we don't take our city to that level, because we've already got enough problems economically and every employment-wise and all that. So what we need to do is fight for justice, for us all to be fair and to build a better community. You want to respond to that, sir?
I do, and the first thing I respond to is I think that there are lots of issues people are angry about. Lots of levels of government, lots of, you know, local, far, close, whatever you want to say, but it seems that sometimes the police get the brunt of that because they're the one people are in contact with daily. You don't see the senators or the politicians, you see the police. So I think sometimes the police get the brunt of all the other things going on. The other thing is, when you get to these deadly force situations, use of force, especially in Missouri or any place, once those happen, the investigation's lengthy, and I think we need to start educating the public because we can't give answers right away because you never want to give an answer that seems accurate today because you wanted to give a group of people an audience, a news story, and then we find out once the ME or science starts to investigate that the answer wasn't accurate, and that in itself can cause mayhem and maybe protests and riots. So one of the big things we need to educate our public is when these issues happen, there is no instant answers. I wish there was. We have to investigate. We need people outside the police department are going to look at these things, you know, doctors and reconstructionists and stuff like that. So it's the community always wants answers right there, and we don't have them because we cannot afford to give an inaccurate answer if that helps out at all.
Yeah, that helps out a lot. And one of the questions I want to ask you, we've got about 2 minutes and 47 seconds left. What's going on in North Minneapolis, and what can community members that are listening in do to help improve the number of shootings? We've had quite a few, and there's been some that have been solved, but what can we do to help? I think are burglaries up or down? Can you give us a quick update about what's going on in North Minneapolis, and what can the community do to help?
Well, the good news is burglaries are down. In the 4th Precinct Property Crimes Unit's been doing an incredible job of IDing, investigating, capturing burglars. So burglaries are down. Unfortunately, shootings, ag assaults, and robberies are up. And the mainstay of robberies right now seems to be cell phones. I mean, almost every robbery links to Apple iPhone 5, things like that. So the citizens need to learn to secure those phones, maybe keep them in their pocket when they're not using them. Don't have those be out in the open. As for the shootings and things like that, a lot of that is youth, a lot of it's gang, and that's where we need the community's help because these shootings are getting to the point where they're just shooting. They don't care where those bullets are going, and that's a dangerous situation when they're near parks and other things like that. And one of the things citizens can do is when these little altercations start out in the streets, and you know the difference that sometimes people are loud and some people are going to that next level of violence. That's a good time to not just watch or ignore, but that's a good time to call the police so we can get to those groups and maybe break that up before it turns into gunfire. So that would be a great help. But just the community overall calling us and letting us know, because once again, the community has to help us clean up their area. We cannot figure it all out on our own. We need help. We need to go hand in hand here.
Well, I thank you very much. You've been listening to Lieutenant Mike from the Minneapolis Police Department. He's a great man. He's a good man. Matter of fact, he's been out on the streets when I'm out there. He stops every time, and, you know, every now and then. He hasn't got many of my hot dogs. I don't know why he doesn't, but anyway, he stops by. He must be on one of them steak and lobster diets. I don't have no steak out there. But anyway, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you very much. You gave us some vital information to deal with. You gave us some stuff that we need to do. And so we thank you, and we want to thank you and the chief and our commander, also your precinct commander, for allowing you to call in. Thank you, and keep doing the good work you're doing, sir.
Thank you, and VJ, thanks for all your help you do for the community and the police department as well.
All right, you listen to Blog Talk Radio, Minneapolis Mad Dads, all over the world, all over the country. What we're doing is connecting with the community, making sure that we can build trust between the community and the police. And we want to just ask you to continue to stay plugged in with us. And I'm going to now give you our theme song as we go out.
Mad Dads destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south to the east to the west.
badass. How you feel? All the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me, what was I to do? All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love.